Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sachi Pranagaur Hari Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Chaitanya Bhagavat, fifth chapter, 20th verse from Adikanda. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please take over the call, Prabhu. We are very grateful to have you on the call. Prabhuji, you're muted.
Sorry, Mataji. Is my audio okay now?
Yes, Prabhuji. Perfect.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for the introduction. And Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Thank you all for joining today to hear some nectarian katha of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm very thankful and grateful for being given this opportunity to speak a few words on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and any point of time, if the audio goes low, Mataji, just let me know. I will try to use my headset.
Sure,
let's start with the Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrachatam Sagana Ragunatan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Harer Nama Harer Nama Harer Nama Eva Kevalam Kalau nasteva 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 gatiranyada Mukam karoti vachalam Pangum langayate girim Yat krupa tamham vande Shri gurum dinatarinam Paramananda madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hare Krishna. Once again, dear devotees, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. We know we progressively study from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita are the highest, topmost scriptures for us. Bhagavatam itself is very difficult to understand. Prati shloke, prati akshare, nana arte kahe. Bhagavatam is mentioned, it's mentioned that each verse and each word of Bhagavatam has many, many meanings. Very difficult to understand and digest. Unless we have the mercy of our superiors, our Gurujan, Acharyas, our senior devotees. It's very difficult to understand. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat are even more difficult to understand. So, I have no qualification to speak. I have no understanding. But since I have been instructed to speak, by Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji, I'll make an attempt to speak a few words. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami In Chaitanya Charitamrita, glorifying Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur and the writings of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says, Ore Muda Loka Shuna Chaitanya Mangala. Chaitanya Mahima Yate Janibe Sakala. He is calling all conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. He is saying, O Mudas, O fools, just read Chaitanya Mangala. Which was originally Chaitanya Mangala, which became Chaitanya Bhagavat, written by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says, all of us should read Chaitanya Bhagavat. And what happens by reading Chaitanya Bhagavat? He says, Chaitanya Mahima Yate Janibe Sakala. If you understand this book, then you will understand the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, there's so many. This just one verse itself has so much inner deep meanings. One thing is muda. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he uses this word muda. Even if we see lectures of Srila Prabhupada, like Srila Prabhupada uses this word fools and rascals a lot. And somebody who does not understand the mood of Srila Prabhupada or who is not really part of ISKCON, for them it's very difficult to digest this word muda or fools or rascals. But our superiors, our acharyas or our seniors, they explain that, see, generally when our child does something wrong, we scold them. Sometimes we may use the word donkey or monkey or whatever, whatever pet names we like to use, we use the names and we scold our children. So same way, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, all of them, they have this mood of a teacher, instructor, parent. They want all of us to become devotees. Good devotees, fixed up devotees. So that's why to encourage, to show their affection to us, they use these words. We should not misunderstand this word muda, because it can easily upset somebody and they may go away. But that's not the intention here. The intention is we have to see the affection. So that is one thing. And then the second thing is, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he is writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, he is instructing all the audience of Chaitanya Charitamrita and the others, everyone to read Chaitanya Bhagavat. So with this, our acharyas explain that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is accepting Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's writings. That means he is accepting the parampara. He is adhering to the parampara. See, if we come in a particular parampara and if we don't honor, if we don't respect, if we don't acknowledge the writings of our previous acharyas, then we cannot be considered to be part of the sampradaya. So, in a sense, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, by requesting or instructing everyone to read Chaitanya Bhagavat, he is following the parampara. He is accepting the parampara, the disciplic succession. So that is one more lesson that we can learn from this verse. And another lesson, which is more important, is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Chaitanya Mahima Yate Janibe Sakala. By reading this book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, one will be able to understand all glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there are so many sweet pastimes in Chaitanya Bhagavat, in Chaitanya Charitamrita as well. But by reading Chaitanya Bhagavat especially, we read lot of pastimes, a lot of pastimes, very nectarian pastimes, easy to understand, less heavy on philosophy, and more rich and blissful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are written in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that one should not give up worship of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and worship Radha Krishna individually. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he instructs that we should worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna together. And if we worship them individually, independently, like just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or just Radha Krishna, then Srila Saraswati Thakur, he says that we cannot become advanced. For us, as part of Gaudiya Sampradaya, for us to advance in the path of bhakti, we should worship them together. So that is instruction. So that's why when we read Chaitanya Bhagavat, we understand the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we will be able to worship in the proper way according to our acharyas. And one more thing, I remember reading in the past, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually promoted Chaitanya Bhagavat more than Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the reason is that Chaitanya Bhagavat is more nectarian from a story standpoint. Even a common man, even an uneducated man will be able to digest Chaitanya Bhagavat. But Chaitanya Charitamrita has little bit philosophy which not everyone will be able to understand and digest. Even children can read Chaitanya Bhagavat and relish. So that's why Saraswati Thakur, initially he used to promote Chaitanya Bhagavat for new people. So that once they understand the pastimes, once they get attached, then they can read the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So today's chapter, very beautiful and nectarian chapter. It describes one of the pastimes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed. It is about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating the offerings of the mendicant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed so many pastimes. And our acharyas explained that he is continuing to perform his pastimes even today. And if one is fortunate enough, they can witness those pastimes. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates are eternal. Same way we hear about Sri Sri Radha Krishna also. Even Jagannath Balaji Subhadra Maharaj, Sudarshan Maharaj, they continue to perform their leelas. Only qualified, fortunate devotees are able to see it. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says in the Madhyakanda, he says, Adhyapi Seilila Kare Gaura Rai Kona Kona Bhagyavan Deki Bare Pai. He says that Adhyapi Seilila Kare Gaura Rai Nitya Lila Kare Gaura Rai. Sri Gaura Rai, he is performing his pastimes eternally. But then what is the problem? Kona Kona Bhagyavan Deki Bare Pai. I heard this verse from Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj several years ago when he was speaking at Atlanta, and I got attracted and I got attached to this verse. Kona Kona Bhagyavan Deki Bare Pai. It's only few fortunate souls. They are the only ones who are able to see and witness these glorious nectarian pastimes of Sri Mahaprabhu. We know in Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata apyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srujamiham. And he says, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha dushkrutam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna gives various reasons why he appears in this material world. When there is a decline in religious principles, when there is predominance of adharma, to deliver the pious, to annihilate the dushkrutina, the demons, the miscreants, to establish the principles of religion. Like this, Krishna gives various reasons why he appears in every millennium. But our acharyas explain, these are not the primary reasons. These are secondary reasons. So that's why our scriptures are like layered. Initially, we learn something. And as we advance, we learn more. So I remember when I came to ISKCON, my level of understanding of the path of bhakti is different. And now as I've stayed for a little bit of time in ISKCON and practiced some aspects of bhakti, my understanding is a little bit more, you know. And definitely as we progress, it will become more richer, we go more deeper, and we can relish more. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, and another reason why Krishna appears, another reason why Krishna appears is given. It is said, Anugrahaya Bhaktana Manusham Dehamastita Bhajate Tadrushi Krida Ya Shrutva Tat Parobhavet. It is explained. Sorry, I think some devotee mentioned that my audio is not clear. Is it like that for everyone?
Prabhuji, it is good for me.
Prabhuji, is good for me too.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji, for confirming. I will try to speak a little louder. I have slight cold, but I'll try my best to speak a little louder. So it is said, to show anugrahaya bhaktanam, to show mercy to his devotees. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham dehamastita. The Lord assumes a human-like form. Why? Only to show mercy to his devotees. Bhajate tadrushi krida. And taking the form of a human being, two-handed form of human being, what does he do? Bhajate tadrushi krida. He performs such nectarian pastimes. And what happens by that? Ya shrutva tat paro bhavet. And when we hear those nectarian pastimes, we get captivated. We get attracted. We get mesmerized. And then we dedicate our life to Shri Krishna, Shri Shri Radha Krishna. Whatever is pleasing to Radha Krishna, that's what a devotee will do. And this, to make this happen, the Lord comes to this material world. He does not have any, there is no reason, there is no real reason why the Lord has to come. If he has to establish Dharma, he can send his great devotees. I mean, Jaya, Vijaya, Anantasesh, there's so many great devotees of Lord Krishna, Hanuman, Garuda, even Vayu, all of these, Agni, these great personalities are sufficient to establish Dharma. The Lord does not have to come. To establish religion, again, the Lord does not have to come in person. He can send his foremost devotees to do that. But he still comes. Why? To attract the conditioned souls and to give pleasure to his devotees, to have loving exchanges with his devotees. So Krishna is coming to benefit us. Krishna is not going to gain anything by coming to this material world. He can have these loving exchanges even in the spiritual world also. But to please his devotees, Krishna is taking this effort. He is making this effort. So same way, Shri Krishna, taking the mood of Srimati Radharani, appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he performed a lot of nectarian pastimes. When we read Krishna book, we feel very happy reading all the pastimes that Lord Krishna has performed. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are even more sweeter. So one of those pastimes we will read today. Not the entire pastime, but few verses from that pastime we'll read today. This is chapter 5 from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda. Let me share my screen. Hare Krishna, can someone confirm if you're able to see my screen?
Yes, Prabhu, we can see that.
Okay, so we're reading from verse 20.
Kante Bala Gopal Bhushan Shala Grama Parama Brahmanya Teja Ati Anupama.
That matchless effulgent Brahmana had a deity of Bala Gopal and a Shalagram Shila hanging from his neck. So we have already started reading this pastime. The Brahmana is about to enter into the house of Sri Jagannath Mishra and Shachi Devi. So we'll so in this verse particularly it is explained that the Brahmana, who is very effulgent, had a deity of Balagopal and a Shaligram Shila hanging from his neck. The phrase Kante Balagopal indicates that the Brahmana carried his worshipable deities of Balagopal and Shalagram hanging from his neck as his ornaments. So in Western countries especially, we see the parents, they tie a wrap to the front and they carry their baby. I don't know, most of us, if we are parents, we must have had that experience. So that, you know, we can keep our hands free. Even in India, I've seen people tie the baby in the back with a cloth, with a sari or some sort of big cloth. They tie the baby in the back so that their hands are free and they can continue to work. So in the same way, this Brahmana mendicant, he loved his Gopal deity and Shalagram. And just to keep them always with him, as he's a traveling mendicant, you know, he wanted them to be with him. And he basically tied as a necklace both the Shaligram Shila and Gopal Diti to his neck. And one word that is used here is Bhushana. Bhushana means ornaments. Sometimes we wear a necklace with a pendant, with a locket. We have Narasimha pendant, Radha Nam pendant, Radha Krishna pendant. Like that, so many pendants exist, so many lockets exist. So, same way, this Brahmana, he is wearing the topmost ornament, which is this Balagopal deity and the Shaligram Shila. He's wearing them as ornaments hanging in his neck. And this should not be misinterpreted. It is not that he is using the deity and Shaligram Shila as an ornament. No, he is respecting them. And one more phrase that is used here is effulgent. Parama Brahmanya Teja. This Brahmana is very effulgent. We know, we hear from the scriptures, we read from Srimad Bhagavatam also, that a devotee becomes naturally effulgent. He is liked by everyone. Especially this happens when one follows the instructions of the scriptures, of the previous acharyas, and of our Gurujan, of our Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru. And that way, when we follow all the instructions and when we eventually start loving Sri Radha Krishna, performing loving devotional service, then the devotee becomes very effulgent. So this Brahmana, out of love, is carrying his Ishtadev, his Gopal deity and Shaligram Shila. So he was effulgent because of that. It is due to his devotion. And this we will read in the next verse. In the verse 21, we will see how we know that this Brahmana is a devotee. We will see this in the next verse. But before we go to the next verse, I want to briefly speak about the Shaligram Shilas. Lot of devotees in ISKCON, especially I've seen, there is a misunderstanding among the devotees that Shaligram Shila is not worshipped in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But actually, it is not true. It is a misunderstanding. And also, there is a more promotion of worship of Govardhan Shila, which is connected with Vraj. But Shaligram Shila is more connected to Vaikuntha and Aishwaryamayi worship. That's what, there is some understanding. But actually, it is not 100% correct. I was hearing a lecture by Sripad Ayendra Prabhu, and I believe Ayendra Prabhu worshipped more than 1,000 Shaligram Shilas. And Sripad Ayendra Prabhu, he was saying that it really depends on our bhav, our mood, our understanding and the way we approach Shaligram Shila in the Vidhi Mark or in the Rag Mark. See, there are several proofs where in the Gaudiya Sampradaya we see devotees worshipping Shaligram Shilas. For example, Advaita Acharya. You know Advaita Acharya, he was worshipping Shaligram Shila, and it is mentioned that one of the reasons why the Lord appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is because of the loving service that Srila Advaita Acharya performed to his Shaligram Shila. And then we also know Sri Jagannath Mishra also worshipped a Damodar Shila, Damodar Shaligram Shila. And then even Nanda Maharaj also worshipped Shaligram Shila. And most importantly, we know all of us love Sri Radharamanji in Vrindavan. We know he appeared to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But how did he appear? He appeared from a Shaligram Shila. We know the story where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to Gopal Bhatta Goswami and he instructed him to go to Gandaki River and get some Shaligram Shilas, and through that get Sri Mahaprabhu's mercy. And you know, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he went to Gandaki River, he got 12 Shaligram Shilas, and one of the Shaligram Shila converted, transformed into Radharaman. So this is how, you know, the Shaligram worship is there in our line, in our Sampradaya. It is not new. Same way, there are Dwaraka Shilas also. Dwaraka Shila, generally people relate it to Dwaraka, like worship in the mood of Rukmini and the queens of Dwaraka, but it is not necessarily true. It is explained that, I think Aindra Prabhu was only mentioning that some devotees worship Dwaraka Shila even as Radharani also. And so like this, there were so many stories that Aindra Prabhu was mentioning. Even Govardhan Shila also, they are worshipped in different moods. A Govardhan Shila is worshipped as Krishna. A Govardhan Shila is worshipped as Balaram Ji. Govardhan Shila is worshipped as Radharani. And it is explained that Gopal Bhatta Goswami got 12 Shilas. And one of the Shaligram Shila turned into Radharaman. So the Goswamis of Radharaman temple, they actually got one Govardhan Shila and they worship the 11 Shaligram Shilas plus this one Govardhan Shila together forming 12 as Dwadasha Gopal. So here Shaligram Shila is being worshipped as Dwadasha Gopal also. So and Govardhan Shila is being worshipped as Gopal, one of the Dwadash Gopal. So like that, the mood in which we approach the Shila is how the Shila will reciprocate. Even even in the Krishna Balaram temple, in front of Krishna Balaram deities, if we observe, there are two Govardhan Shilas. And they are worshipped as Krishna Balaram. So Govardhan Shila is not just used to worship as Krishna, even as Sri Balaram also. So like this, it depends on our mood. And Shripad Aindra Prabhu was also mentioning that Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada gave two Shaligrams to Kuladri Prabhu in New Vrindavan. In New Vrindavan in the beginning days, Srila Prabhupada wanted them to worship Shaligram Shilas. So Srila Prabhupada gave them two Shaligram Shilas to Kuladri Prabhu. One for Kuladri Prabhu to worship himself, and then another Shaligram Shila, Srila Prabhupada wanted to be worshipped at the New Vrindavan temple by the head priest. And at that time, the head priest was none other than Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada instructed them how to worship. And Prabhupada said that you should have a yellow dhoti for the Shaligram Shila. Yellow dhoti, and then peacock feather, and then a flute. And this is pure Krishna, Vraja Bhav, Vraja mood, the mood of worshipping Krishna in Vraja. So though it was a Shaligram Shila, Srila Prabhupada instructed to be worshipped as Krishna. So it so the essence is that it depends on our mood. If we see the Shaligram Shila as Lord Vishnu, then you know it will become a Aishwaryamai Bhav Seva. But if we see the Shaligram Shila or Govardhan Shila as Krishna, then it will become Vraja Bhav. So it just depends. So this point I wanted to highlight that, you know, it is not that we don't worship Shaligrams in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. It seems that even Srila Prabhupada wanted a Shaligram to be worshipped at Mayapur temple in the initial days. But the Pujari at that time, they declined that, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I will just worship Radha Madhav. I don't want to worship Shaligram because it will become Aishwarya mood. So I'll just worship Radha Madhav in Vraj Bhav. Then Srila Prabhupada responded that, who said that this Shila is Narayan or Vishnu? I am saying this is Krishna in Vrindavan and you worship this Shila in that way. So then the Pujari accepted it in lot of bliss. So it really depends on our bhav, how we approach the Shila. So there should not be any confusion on this point. So we'll go to verse 21.
निरवधि मुखे विप्रा कृष्ण कृष्ण बोले अंतरे गोविंदा रसे दुई चक्षु दुले.
So this is a verse that highlights the devotion of this brahmana, mendicant brahmana. He constantly chanted the name of Krishna while he kept his eyes half closed and internally relished ecstatic love for Govinda. The word Govinda Rase means in one of the five transcendental mellows: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. Those who serve the form of Balagopal are understood to be situated in the parental mood. Due to intense eagerness to see his worshipable Lord Balagopal, the Brahmana's thirsty eyes were always rolling. So we can see from this verse how devoted this Brahmana is. One, we see he's constantly chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna. The word Niravadi, constantly, is very important. Krishna also tells in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Kirtayantoma. And we also know, especially in ISKCON, the chanting of the holy name is promoted immensely. And that is one thing that we do early in the morning. The first thing that we do in our day, at least we should try to do, chanting our japa. So this devotee, this brahmana, mendicant, he is also chanting the names of the Lord continuously, constantly. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Yuga Avatar, starting the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, to initiate the process of chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he himself said, Nama Vinu Kalikale Aranahi Dharma Sarva Mantra Saranam Eishastra Marma. Sri Mahaprabhu, he said that Nama Vinu Kalikale Aranahi Dharma. There is no other religion, there is no other religious principle in Kali Yuga other than chanting of the holy name. And then he says, Sarva Mantra Sara Nam. The Sar, the essence of all mantras, of all Vedic hymns, is what? Nam, the holy name. And then he says, Ei Shastra Marma. The Marma, the purport of all scriptures, is what? The holy name. Like this, there's so much glory of holy name. Krishna mantra hoite hobe samsara mochan, Krishna nama hoite pabe Krishnera charan. By taking the holy name of Krishna, we can easily attain the charan of Sri Krishna. We can easily attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. We can get out of this material world, samsara mochan. We can obtain freedom from this material existence and we can easily obtain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So like this, there is so much glorification of the holy name, and the essence is always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. Smartavyo satatam Vishnor, na vismartavyo na jatuchit. We should never forget Krishna and always remember Krishna. And all the religious principles, instructions, whatever instructions we receive or principles we follow, all of these are actually subservient to these two principles. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that the process of chanting helps us in remembering Krishna. We can remember Krishna consistently, constantly, continuously, only if we are able to chant constantly. So this is a very important statement. By constant chanting only, we can remember Krishna constantly. So we can gauge ourselves how much we remember the holy name, how much we are able to chant the holy name. That much we can gauge, we can understand that much we can remember Krishna. I was hearing one lecture by Radhesham Prabhu some time ago. It was about Bhagavad Gita. He said one nice thing. He said, "Hath me kam, hath work with our hands, mukh me naam, chant the holy name with the mouth, tongue, and then man me ram." In the heart, we remember the Lord. So, hath me kam, mukh me naam, man me ram. Nice way that he put all these principles in one simple verse that we all can remember. So we should constantly chant, whether we have our bead bag, whether we have our clicker, whatever we are doing, whether we are sitting, whether we are resting, whether we are eating, whether we are walking, whatever we are doing. Utite boshite kaite shuite jaha taha naam loy desha kal niyam nay sarva siddhi hoy. Just we don't have to follow any rules and regulations for chanting the holy name. We don't have to worry about the time, place, circumstance, because for certain mantras like Gayatri mantra, we have to see time, place, circumstance. We have to see our adhikar. We have to see our purity. There's so many things that we have to consider. But for the holy name, there is no consideration. We can chant in whichever condition we are. And the best part is sarva siddhi hoy. We will attain the topmost all perfection. We don't have to endeavor individually for each perfection. No, sarva siddhi hoy. Mahaprabhu also says, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. We attain the topmost victory by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we all should try. We all should try to chant as much as possible. And our acharyas explain that we will become capable of receiving the topmost gift of Krishna Prema through this process of chanting. And this is why Sri Mahaprabhu appeared. This is one of the reasons. One of the reasons why Mahaprabhu appeared in this Kali Yuga to give us this holy name. So we'll continue with the next verse.
Deki Jagannada Mishra Teja Setahara Sambrame Utiya Karilena Namaskara.
When Jagannath Mishra saw the effulgent Brahmana, he respectfully stood up and then offered obeisances. The word sambrame means with due respect. Text 23.
Atiti vyabhara dharma yena mate haya sabakari lena jagannatha mahashaya.
Jagannath Mishra received the Brahmana with the etiquette due to a guest. So, Sri Jagannath Mishra, he received the Brahmana. And how did he receive? he received the brahmana following the proper etiquette how to receive a guest. He received the brahmana in that way. A stranger who stays in a householder's residence for one day and leaves the next is called an atithi or guest. The householders have the opportunity to serve such guests for only one day. It is the vyavahara dharma or rule of etiquette for a householder to serve his guests. Honoring guests is as good as serving the spiritual master. In other words, a guest is as worshipable as Lord Narayan. So we'll see some important points from this verse. So according to the Vedic culture, hospitality is one of the important principles, especially offering food, water, a resting place to a stranger is the duty of a grihastha. Especially for grihasthas, this is a duty. Even we see within our ISKCON devotee families also, we see when some devotees are traveling to a new place, we open our house whenever possible. It may not be possible for everyone, but when possible, if possible, we open our homes to allow devotees to come and stay with us who are traveling for a few days. Especially in Atlanta, we see that happening quite often. Again, I live in Atlanta, so that's why I know about Atlanta. I'm sure it will happen in other places as well. Recently, my Guru Maharaj, Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, he came to Atlanta to bless all of us. And at that time, we were hosting some devotees. Like several of our devotees here, they opened their homes to host devotees that were traveling. And very soon, we will be celebrating Panyati festival as well. Jagannath Rath Yatra and Panyati festival. And I hope and pray that all of you are able to visit the festival. And again, at that time also, there will be accommodation provided. So, hope you all will be able to attend. So, one more word that is mentioned here is atithi. Tidhi means time. And atithi means without a set time. You know, this word is common in India. We use this word atithi for guests. Atithi devo bhava. One statement that we all hear, atithi devo bhava. The scriptures say that atithi, a guest, should be treated as God. And but these days we see it's not really, the concept is not followed, because whenever somebody is visiting, they call us before itself. You know, they say that I'm coming at such and such time. So then, you know, that becomes atithi. It's not atithi anymore. It's not, the time is set. So then, you know, it is not atithi. So we'll be prepared to receive the person, whoever is coming. But in the olden days, it was not like that. The people, they just come whenever, you know, and there's no communication also. Mechanism to communicate in the olden days. So people just used to travel and just enter their relative's home. And the relatives also, they're ready to receive the guests. It's not that they'll say, why don't you come tomorrow? It's not like that. Everyone is hospitable. They open their house and they welcome guests. And more importantly, this hospitality was offered to Brahmanas, to devotees, to Vaishnavas, sadhus, holy people who generally keep traveling from one place to another place. And they travel mainly to uplift all the conditioned souls. And we will see that also in the future verses. And it's very important, this seva, we will use the word Vaishnava seva generally, but generally seva is very important. It's not that we serve only those who are devotees or those who are well-educated. those who are advanced in devotion. It's not just like that. We should serve one and everyone. Whether one is poor, whether one is rich, whether one is educated, not educated, whether one is a devotee, new devotee, old devotee, initiated devotee, not initiated devotee, Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, Kanishtadhikari, non-devotee, whoever it is, we should be polite. We should try to serve them to our capacity in their best interest. We should not serve in a way expecting something in return. So we should serve one and everyone. And our scriptures also say that we should do at least three things. If we are not able to do a lot of service for somebody who is coming to our home, at least we should do three things. What are they? Sweet words. Speak nicely. See, check their welfare, how they are doing. You know, speak nice words. And then offer them a sitting place, a place so that they can sit and relax. And then at least offer them some water. If you have some nice prasadam to give, that is good. If not, at least some water. So these three things at the minimum we should do. And these three are not difficult. It's free of cost. We can do this for any guest that is coming to our home. And these three minimum we should do. And if you see in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna himself, he sets this example. The famous story where Krishna receives his childhood friend Sudama Vipra. How Krishna ran out of his palace. He received Sudama Vipra at the door. And he made him sit on his own throne, massaged his feet, did Pada Abhishek. You know, so much nice care. Nice hospitality that Krishna showed. So, following in the footsteps of Krishna and our acharyas, we should do the same. So, we should do this for everyone, not just friends, relatives, devotees, not like that. We should treat everyone nicely. And one of the reasons why our scriptures say that we should treat even our even non-devotees or our enemies as nicely, because so that they will forget their animosity towards us. Okay, so that is the main reason why we are asked to treat everyone nicely. If we hear in the lectures that during Kurukshetra war, during the day Pandavas and Kauravas were fighting, right? They were engaged in ferocious battle. But then after sunset, what happened? They kept their weapons aside and they were just mingling amongst themselves. The family members from one side were coming to the other side. They were just mingling, sitting and eating together. They were discussing. They were having fun. They were playing games. Like this, we should also treat everyone nicely. Here we see Jagannath Mishra also. Following proper etiquette, he has received this Brahmana guest. So let's go to the next verse.
Apane kariya tana pada prakshalana Vasite dilena ani uttama asana.
He personally washed the Brahmana's feet and then offered him a proper seat. Like how Krishna bathed, washed the feet of Sudama, same way Jagannath Mishra also. He personally washed the feet of this Brahmana mendicant, the traveling mendicant, and he offered him a proper seat to sit.
Sustahai vasilena yadi vipravara tabetane mishra jigna sena kotagara.
After the Brahmana was comfortably seated, Jagannath Mishra asked him, "Where is your residence?" See, because Jagannath Mishra did not know anything about this Brahmana. So, just natural inquisitiveness. You know, he First he made sure the Brahmana was comfortable. He washed his feet and then gave him a comfortable seat to sit. And then he's starting to converse with the Brahmana through some sweet words. And the question that he asked is, where is your residence? And I remember that one of the reasons why we wash the feet of devotees, one reason is specifically in this context, I remembered that this mendicant is traveling. And in those days, people did not have shoes. So naturally, the feet will bear most of the pain. So by washing with cold water, I think I heard this in Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj's lecture. By washing the feet, by massaging the feet, especially with cold water, it seems the stress and strain, the pain will go away. So that is why the feet are washed. Same, that is why even Krishna washed Sudama Vipra's feet. Verse 26. Vipra bole ami udasina deshantari. Chittera vikshepe matra paryatana kari. Paryatana means travel, wander. So the Brahmana replied, I am a wandering mendicant. I go wherever my restless mind takes me. The word udasin means renounced or desireless. The word deshantari refers to one who travels to places other than his birthplace. The phrase vikshepa matra means with agitation, disturbance or anger. So we see here the Brahmana is calling himself as chittera vikshepa. His chitta is disturbed. His mind is disturbed. His consciousness is disturbed. So that's why he's traveling. And then he's also saying that he's udasin. That means he's renounced, he's desireless. And then he's saying deshantari. In the previous verse, Jagannath Mishra asked, where are you from? Where is your birthplace? So that is why he's saying deshantari. I'm going to places outside of my birthplace. I'm traveling to places other than my birthplace. So these are some important words. And see, though the Brahmana is saying that his mind is agitated, we should not think that, this is not a devotee. He's a madman or he's a nomad who does not have any home. So he's just traveling from one place to another. No, it's not like that. We will see in the next verse, it's clear why this mendicant is not a mad person. Text 27. Pranati kariya mishra bole na vachana jagatera bhagya seto mara paryatana. So this is the reason why he is traveling. Jagannath Mishra knows this. Jagannath Mishra is saying, with folded hands, Jagannath Mishra said, your traveling is for the benefit of the world. Your traveling is for the benefit of the world. Jagannath Mishra, being the son of the Supreme, sorry, being the father of the Supreme Lord, he knows the truth. He said, O Brahmana, you are not traveling because you are mad. You are not traveling because you are renounced. Devotees like you travel for the benefit of people like me. For the benefit of this world, especially for the benefit of Gruhasthas. So we'll read the purport. Very nice verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. The meaning of the second line of this verse is found in Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 10, chapter 8, verse 4. Mahatvichalanam runam gruhinam dina chetasam nishreyasaya bhagavan. Kalpate nanyata kvachet. O my Lord, O great devotee, persons like you move from one place to another not for their own interests But for the sake of poor-hearted grihasthas, householders, otherwise they have no interest in going from one place to another. So this verse was actually spoken by Nanda Maharaj. This verse was spoken by Nanda Maharaj to Garga Muni. So we know in the 10th canto, Garga Muni comes to see Nanda Maharaj on the request of Vasudev Maharaj. So that's when this verse is spoken. So we see Nanda Maharaj speaking to Garga Muni, and here Jagannath Mishra is speaking to this traveling mendicant. So nice parallels here. So this in the purport of this verse 10.8.4, Srila Prabhupada states that Krishna is Atmaram. He is Purna. We see even in Sri Ishopanishad it says, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishyate. So Krishna is complete. Krishna is perfect. Krishna is full. Krishna is whole. And Krishna is fully satisfied. Atmaram. He does not need anything from this material world to become satisfied. Right? Krishna is happy in the spiritual world, but yet he appears in this world. In the beginning we were seeing that he comes to please his devotees. Krishna's mission, Krishna's goal is to please his devotees. That is his mission. That's why he comes. So same way, the devotees also have a mission. The devotees' mission is to carry forward the mission of Krishna, carry forward the mission of our acharyas. Though the devotees are self-satisfied, we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was very comfortable. He was a sannyas, he was living in Sri Radha Damodar temple in Sevakunji in Vrindavan, very comfortable, very respectable. He was doing his bhajan very nicely. And all of us would love to be in that position. And he did not desire anything. He was not in need of anything from this material world. Yet, he traveled. He took the very difficult journey in Jaladuta to come to the West to preach the glories of the Supreme Lord, to spread the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to fulfill the instruction of his spiritual master. He gave up all of his comfort and he came to the West just to uplift all of us. Why? Because his compassion was overpouring. He was feeling miserable in his heart, looking at the miserable condition of the people in this material world. And he wanted to do something to deliver all of us. So that's the reason why Srila Prabhupada came. And the same way, Jagannath Mishra is also honoring this Brahmana, that you are saying that you are traveling because your mind is restless, but no, I don't think that is true. The truth is that you are traveling because you want to deliver the grihasthas, you want to uplift the householders. Text 28. Visheshata aji amar parama saubhagya agna deha randanera karigiya karya. Today I am especially fortunate. Please order me and I will go arrange for your cooking. So Sri Jagannath Mishra, he is feeling very fortunate because on this particular day, the Brahmana visited his house, Srila Jagannath Mishra's house. So he was naturally feeling very fortunate. And see, because devotees, they don't go to everyone's home. right? All of us can just think, when was a senior devotee at our place? When did some guru, spiritual master, come to our home? When did a Shiksha guru come to our home? When did a Diksha guru come to our home? When did just devotees come to our home? You know, somebody who's very strict in their sadhana, somebody who's performing their bhajan nicely. When did they come to our home? We can also imagine, we can also understand that it's not easy. Devotees don't come that easily. So Jagannath Mishra, knowing this, he's feeling very fortunate that today you have come to my home and I'm very blessed. So you tell me, please order me and I will go arrange for your cooking. Tell me whatever you need and I will go and arrange for your cooking.
Vipra bole kara mishra ye icha tumar Hari Shekarila Mishra Divya Upahar Randane Rastana Upas Kari Bala Mate Dilena Sakala Sacha Randana Karite.
The Brahmana replied, Kara Mishra Ye Icha Tumar. O Mishra, do whatever you feel doable, whatever your desire is. Do whatever. The Brahmana replied, please do whatever you feel suitable. Then Harishya Karila Mishra Divya Upahar. Jagannath Mishra was very happy. Harsha. He became very happy. He happily arranged all sorts of palatable ingredients. He did not just arrange, you know, some simple broken piece of rice or some dal or something like that. No. He arranged all sorts of palatable ingredients. And then Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi nicely cleaned the kitchen and kept all the ingredients ready for cooking. So they not only arranged the ingredients, but they also cleaned all the kitchen, the pot, all the area, the ingredients, everything were kept nicely arranged for the cooking. In this word, Upahara means arrangement. The word upaskari means cleaning with cow dung. And the word sajja means decoration. Like in Hindi we have this word sajana, like that sajja here means decoration, arrangement or ingredients. So Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, they arranged all the ingredients. And they also cleaned the place. They cleaned the place and they decorated it very nicely so that the Brahmana can come and cook. So based on the Brahmana's desire, Jagannath Mishra was ready to serve the Brahmana. Jagannath Mishra, you know, he did not do whatever he wanted. He did what the Brahmana needed. They cleaned the kitchen nicely. They arranged all the ingredients. So we see it's explained in the purport that they cleaned the kitchen with cow dung. You know, cow dung is one of the purificatory ingredients. Cow dung, cow urine. And that's what people used to do, used to clean in the olden days. And now if we talk about cow dung or cow urine, people are not favorable at all. Even in India, people think it is untouchable, very sad state. And they also arrange nice palatable ingredients for cooking. So one thing we can learn from this is that Brahmanas and devotees, especially very advanced and senior devotees, they don't eat in everyone's home. They are very particular where they eat. They are very particular what they eat, who made the boga, who cooked the boga. They're very particular. They don't eat from everyone's hand. Especially, I know there are some Brahmanas back in India. When I was in India, I know some families. They never ate in others' homes. They ate in their own home. Whatever they cooked, they eat only their cooked food. And some, like this particular Brahmana, his desire was that he cook for himself. He cook on his own and then offer it to his Balagopal deity and Shalagram Shila. And then after the deities were offered, then he used to honor. So that much attachment he had for his deities, and he had so much loving affection, seva bhav towards his deities. He wanted to cook on his own and then offer to the deities. So this Brahmana is a very advanced devotee. How many of us really, you know, insist on cooking for ourselves and then offering and then eating the prasadam when we travel to others' homes? We don't. Again, it may be difficult, and even if we are given the opportunity, most of us will not take that opportunity. You know, we are okay to eat whatever we get. So we have to be, as we make progress, we have to be very careful. Recently, a devotee was here. He was speaking about annadosh, that there is something called annadosh, where the contamination of our consciousness happens through anna, through the food that we eat. So we have to be very careful to understand the source of the food item that we are eating, especially whether it is offered or not. Firstly, is the food offerable? And then if it is offerable, then was it offered properly? Was it cooked properly? You know, all of these are very important for us to protect our consciousness. Sometimes we see devotees offering food items prepared from the store. And I've clearly heard that that's not the right approach. If it is not avoidable, then it is okay. But generally, that is not recommended. If we talk, you know, personally with some of our superiors, they clearly say, no, that's not the right thing to do. So this Brahmana was following all of these principles nicely. So Jagannath Mishra and Sachidevi, they arranged, they made all the arrangements so that this Brahmana could cook nice palatable dishes and offer to his deities, Balagopal deity and Shalagram Shila. So I will stop here. I want to thank all of you for listening patiently and for giving me this opportunity today to speak some Harikatha. It's very difficult to get an opportunity to perform bhakti, and after taking to the path of bhakti, to stay on the path of bhakti is even more difficult. And then even more difficult is to understand the Lord, understand his pastimes, and to speak about the Lord. It's very difficult. So in my conditioned state, I'm sure I have made so many mistakes. So please forgive me and please bless me so I can make improvement. And if you have liked or not liked whatever I have spoken, either way, please bless me and please pray for me so that I can improve in my bhakti. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. It was such a nice, soothing, very, very wonderful class. Felt very good to hear about deity worship, about Shalagram Shilas, different Shilas, the mode of the devotee, cooking of the Brahmanas, everything. I think everything was very wonderfully outlined, Prabhu. Thank you for your beautiful insights and very, very well done class. Thank you, Prabhu. Very thankful.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Such a beautiful class, Prabhu. As Priti Vilasni Mataji was saying, like how you were initially describing about how Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is important. And then later you were talking about Chitana Charita Amrita and Chitanya Bhagavat, right? And how Chitanya Bhagavat is very easy. Even a small kid can get it. And you were explaining about like how we have to welcome devotees and welcome guests. when, you know, prior intimation. But nowadays, culture has completely changed, as you said. Even to go to somebody's house for a tea party or some anything, you know, you just need to tell them before that we are coming, or we expect them to tell us before that, okay, we keep everything ready and we are available at home. So everything has changed, Prabhu. Yes. And such a beautiful class. Thank you so much for enlightening us in many, many concepts, like how the consciousness affects when we eat prasadam cooked with a different consciousness. So that will affect us. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you. Very, very grateful to you. We said, devotees, is there anybody having any questions or realizations? Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, I just want to make sure that I heard properly that store-bought foods are not offerable. I think I've heard that before, but I just wanted to confirm that I heard you say that.
Yes, Mataji, that is correct. Technically speaking, if you want to follow the principles of bhakti properly, then food that is cooked or prepared outside should not be offered to the deities. I mean, even if we offer, I have heard this clearly from authentic sources, that it will not be accepted by the Lord. And see, generally when we offer, what happens? We don't offer to the Lord directly. We offer it to our guru. We offer it to the spiritual master, and the spiritual master offers to his spiritual master, and like that in the disciplic succession, the food, the bhoga, eventually reaches Sri Sri Radha Krishna or Gaur Nitai, whoever our deities are. So it is explained that the guru himself rejects the food. The guru, when he sees that this food is not prepared according to the scriptures, the guru himself rejects the food. Guru may be being merciful, may accept it, but he does not offer to Krishna. You know, because Guru wants to offer the best to Krishna. See, let's say if I am not chanting my 16 rounds, will Guru Maharaj want to offer me to Krishna? Will Srila Prabhupada want to offer me to Krishna? No. Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, our Acharyas, all of us want to become perfect in our bhajan, in our bhakti, then we will be offered. Same way, even the food we offer also, it has to be perfect. I remember one nice pastime, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, all of us know him very well. He is very strict in his bhakti, the principles of bhakti, and his standards are very high. So in the, I think it was in the Dallas temple or Los Angeles temple, I don't remember exactly. He was the in charge of the temple. And he was very strict about the offerings that were happening. If the offerings were substandard, not up to his mark, he used to tell them, no, you cannot offer this. So the devotees know what Maharaj standards are, and they were cooking every day very nicely. Very nice offerings were being made. But once it so happened that His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was about to travel. And it was an unexpected travel. And it so happened that it was an Ekadashi. So there was no prasadam available when Maharaj was about to travel. So the devotees just gave him some simple fruits. But the devotee that was giving the fruits to Maharaj was scared. He was thinking that Maharaj would expect some special prasadam, some, you know, at least some nice prasadam. So Maharaj did not say anything. He just accepted. He expressed his gratitude. And he was going. Then this devotee felt surprised, and he stopped Maharaj. He requested Maharaj, Maharaj, I have a quick question. Are you okay with this, these fruits? Then Maharaj said, yes, I am fine. Then he said, Maharaj, I have a question. I know in our temple, when we offer to the deities, you make sure that the offerings are very high standard. But you are okay with the fruits. What is this? How do we understand this? Then Maharaj said, to me, I'm ready to eat, take anything. Even if you offer me simple prasad, I'm fine. But to Krishna, it has to be best. We cannot offer subservient, you know, substandard, lower standard offerings to Krishna. And when does an offering become a proper offering? When it is done with bhakti. And when we, when the food is cooked outside, where is bhakti there? There is only bhukti. There is only profit-making bhav in the food. The rasa that goes into the food is about making money. How can I become rich? How can I cut some corners and make more money out of this food? You know. So outside food, personally, I am totally against it. I know a lot of devotees oppose this statement, but this is a standard that we should all come to. If we want to make progress in bhakti, you know, we have to take some tapasya. We have to make some austerities. And these are simple austerities, actually. If we see in the olden days, you know, Dhruva Maharaj, what did he do? He was just living on water, leaf, air, you know, no food at all. So, you know, if we want to make progress, these are some, specifically food is very important. What goes into our mouth, the tongue, the food and the what comes out, you know, the words, the eyes and the ears. These three are very important. The eyes, tongue and ear, these three are very important. If we make sure we are following spiritual principles, at least for these three, we can be rest assured that we will definitely achieve our topmost destination. Hearing pure Harikatha from pure devotees, our vision should be controlled. See only devotional items or see Krishna everywhere. And then with the tongue, eat only bona fide Krishna prasad and speak only pleasing Krishna Kada. So if we do these, I mean, these are not difficult actually. If you are prepared enough, we can definitely, we'll be able to manage. And Annadosh, recently I heard, that's why I mentioned it, that Annadosh is something that we have to be, we all have to be very careful of. Is that okay, Mataji?
Prabhu, so when you say that, well, two things. One is those fruits that were offered to Tamal Krishna Goswami, if they were offered with love, right, even though it was maybe not some cooked prasadam, I mean, was that would not have been substandard, isn't it?
No, fruits are not substandard. Fruits are fine. But what I was saying was, for the deities, Maharaj ensured that they were offered nice, opulent, cooked food.
But would he not have wanted to offer fruits to the deities?
No, fruits also. No. So if we say between fruits and cooked food, which is high?
They're the same if they're both offered with love, no?
Correct, correct. It is same. But then, you know, with the cooked food, there is more
energy, more harisha, effort.
More energy. Yeah, your heart goes into it. But with the fruit, it's very difficult to put your heart in the fruit. Right? Mm. You may offer it with love. I'm not saying it is not there. But, you know, when you strive, when you work hard to offer something to Krishna, Krishna feels the pleasure and you will also feel the pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that's clear. The other thing was, when you said that, okay, if we, something that the guru might not want to offer to Krishna, he might accept himself because he's so magnanimous, right? The guru. So if he accepts it, right, what does that actually mean? That he accepts it, but he will not offer it to Krishna. What is the outcome of that?
It will still uplift us, Mataji. But, you know, by doing that, Krishna will not be pleased. See, we are the guru. See, guru is a pure Vaishnava. So by us taking the remnants of a pure Vaishnava, we will get purified. We will get Krishna Bhakti. So Guru in that mood set, he may accept our offering, but that's not the right way. You know, we should not, knowing that it is not offerable, we should not offer.
Yes, yes.
Okay. But, yes. You know, there may be situations when I know some devotees, they eat biscuits or cookies when they are traveling because there is no other food available. You know, so, and they just chant Prabhupada Pranam Mantra or Guru Maharaj Pranam Mantra as a token of offering and they eat. But, you know, we don't know how that biscuit or cookies were made. We don't know what kind of sugar was used. And in some countries, the labeling is not proper. Egg may be used, but it is not indicated properly. You know, so many issues are there. You know, so we should not offer things that should not be offered. And the guru may accept just so that we can get some benefit. But otherwise, it is not pleasing to the guru.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just one very technical point. You mentioned what kind of sugar. I mean, is there some kind of sugars that are not good? I mean, I know we, I mean, for health-wise, we hear that white sugar, refined sugar is not good. But I mean, when you said what kind of sugar, are there some kind of sugars that are not offerable?
Yeah, Mataji, it is. I'm not good at this. I'm good at some level of cooking, but I'm not very expert in this area. But I know certain ingredients are not good. For example, white granular sugar. It is explained that they are polished using animal bones. I don't know if that process is still followed in the US or not. But white granular sugar, I heard that is for polishing, they used animal bones.
Yes.
So we don't know what gets mixed in it. I think other Matajis may be well aware of this.
Yes, Prabhu, for cane sugar. White.
Yes, Prabhuji. Mostly in temples, they use turbinado sugar, Prabhuji. In New Vrindavan, they use turbinado. Turbinado is raw sugar, Prabhuji. It doesn't have that bone char.
Okay. So we at home, we use brown sugar mostly.
Yeah, I also use.
She is good at all of that. She makes sure, you know, the ingredients are checked properly. But that's one thing, Mataji. And even cheese also. They use animal-based products in it. It's not written on the packet, but if you call the 1-800 number, you can actually inquire, and they will tell. The 1-800 number that's given on the packets, they answer and they will tell. They'll confirm what are all the ingredients. And if they don't answer, you can email them and they will email back. So especially in the US, the process is very open and, you know, you can inquire clearly. And some people may say that, you know, this is all secondary. We don't have to worry about all of this. All we need to do is chant and be happy. It's true, but you cannot chant and be happy if you're not following all the principles. You know, it's not wishy-washy. It's very serious. The path of bhakti is not it is simple, but it is simple when we follow all the rules. If we do whatever we want, not following the principles, then it will become difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I was using like the turbinado sugar, but that was more for health reasons. I didn't know that, you know, bone could have been mixed in there, you know, to polish.
I don't know about turbinado sugar, Mataji. I have not heard of that.
I think it's a raw sugar.
Raw sugar, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, Mataji, but I think some of the devotee mentioned that they use that in New Vrindavan. So I think maybe.
I mean, I know you said food is not your specialty, but this makes me wonder also about white rice. You know, like, you know, I wonder if, because we understand that also. Excuse me, is there somebody wanting to speak?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was just wondering also if. with white rice, you know, if any kind of similar polishing using bone is there.
I've not heard of white rice, Mataji.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there is, but in sugar is when it's produced from the gourd, but then it's kind of brown, very brown, dark brown. So then to make it white, they use the bone powders like that. So that's why we don't use trying. So in turbinado sugar is the stage before they process to make it white. So that turbinado sugar is very rare. It's the same as a gourd, but it's like crystal form, crystallized form.
Okay. Okay.
Mataji, can I share something? Prabhuji, yes. Can I share something? Prabhuji, yes. When I buy cheeses, these days on cheeses, they write the word rennet, R-E-N-N-E-T. If that word rennet is written, it means they have used the calf intestine in it. So I don't buy that. If they have not written anything, I don't buy that. But if they have written microbial enzymes are vegetarian, only then I buy that cheese.
Yes, Mataji.
I'm definitely just sharing it with everyone. Okay, Prabhu?
Thank you so much for sharing, Mataji.
Is there any more questions? Yeah, Bhavatarini Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Please accept my humble obeisances. Prabhu, I'm Bhavatarini Radhika Devi Dasi. I just have a question. Prabhu, see, sometimes our members, they would like to cook for the Lordship and come during the classes. They sometimes when we give services to the initiated devotees, seeing that the new members, they also want to take up the services. And they feel that we are discriminating, because when we give them the service of bringing them the fruits or some juice or something, so they also want to cook something and bring. Where some devotees, they are eating non-vegetarian at home, so we don't encourage. So how do we deal with this kind of situations where they are getting disturbed because of this?
So Mataji, if I understood the question correctly, firstly, Mataji, please accept my obeisances. You are my superior. So Mataji, if I understood the question correctly, you are saying in the Bhakti Vriksha or in our satsang programs, there are some people who are initiated and some people who are not initiated, who are new, who may cook non-veg at their home.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to cook something and bring. But if we don't give an opportunity to the non-initiated devotees, they may feel discouraged. Is that the question, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Mataji, what I have heard is, for newer people, for these type of people, we should tell them that you should cook sweet item, and that sweet item should be cooked in a new vessel. The vessel should not have been used before, and then you can only cook sweet item. And this is, and you say, this is what you should say, and you should say it in a polite way, you know, because some of the devotees here, they're very strict about what they eat. So they want to make sure that, you know, the food is cooked properly. That's all. We don't say anything more. We don't say that, you know, because you eat non-veg, so we don't want to eat from you. And mostly, Mataji, I've rarely seen somebody get offended when we say this. I've actually never seen. We have run Bhakti Vriksha by Guru Maharaj's mercy for the last maybe 4 or 5 years or so. And I've been part of Bhakti Vrikshas also in the past and even now. And we never see anybody getting upset. One or two may be there, but you know, it's just because they have something else going on. It is nothing to do with us. But if we put it in a proper way and in a requesting, polite way, you know, they will understand. They will not feel bad about it.
So what if in case, yeah, of course, we need to tell them in a polite way. Of course, that is there. So even after giving, requesting them or instructing them like to bring some, I have also heard about the sweets. We give the sweets, they have to prepare in a new bartan and bring. So sweets has less karma than the rice items or something. So like, of course, we do give the sweets or fruits or raita like that. Still like, sometimes, of course, not everyone will get offended, but sometimes some devotees like, they are asking like, since because we eat non-vegetarian, we cannot prepare this, like, and also, like, there was one auntie who was old, okay. She used to tell me, Krishna himself is accepting my offer. Why don't you like the so?
No, Mataji, this is all, you know, people who don't want to follow the rules, they are speaking like this, and we should not, compromise our principles for somebody who we don't know will even follow the rules.
Yeah.
See, if someone is not ready to give up non-vegetarian food, and if he or she is insisting to cook, they don't go together, you know. If somebody is saying, Krishna is accepting my food, why are you not accepting? Then, you know, it immediately raises a question, how does she know that Krishna is accepting?
Yes.
And if Krishna is accepting her food, then why is she eating non-veg? You know, it does not gel
together.
It does not make sense. So definitely we should encourage everyone to participate at their level. And we should not step down so much that we get the karma.
Sure.
And Mataji, I can guarantee you, by eating food in such places, our consciousness will get polluted.
Yes, very true.
So we have to be very careful. At the end of the day, we want to spread the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, or Guru Maharaj. But at the same time, we have to be careful. See, somebody like Guru Maharaj can do it. Somebody like Srila Prabhupada can do it.
Yeah.
You know, and even Krishna can do it. Because they have the potency to digest.
Sure.
Guru Maharaj or Acharyas, Prabhupada, they have done so much bhajan that even Maya Devi cannot do anything to them. We see in Haridas Thakur's pastime, we see personally, Mahadevi came, nothing happened to Haridas Thakur.
Sure.
Like that our Guru Maharaj is, like that Srila Prabhupada is, like that our Acharyas are. But we are not like that. So we cannot take the risk of, you know, what eating anywhere and everywhere, you know. So we should not, but we should politely request them, Mataji, see, this is the principles that we follow.
Yeah.
As a newcomer, you know, you can do this much. And as you progress, we will give you more opportunities. If you want to cook, I mean, if they're so insisting, Mataji, I will tell them, if you chant 16 rounds, you can cook.
Mm.
I mean, they are not ready to spend 1 hour, 1.5 hours, or maybe 8 rounds, maybe 16, maybe too much. You know, if they're able to chant 8 rounds, at least that's an excuse, you know, okay, so you're getting better. You know, we can let them make sabji at that point, maybe. But, you know, no, they don't want to follow the rules and regulations. And if they insist that they want to cook and feed the devotees, see, their mindset, Mataji, most of the people, their mindset is to feed Vaishnavas so that they'll get some sukruti, they'll punya, you know, they'll get some material benefit.
Yeah.
It is not about bhakti. It is about material. Most of the people, it's about material benefit only. So, I mean, we don't want them to get benefited materially. We want to get them benefited spiritually. So, you know, no, we should not, all of these words, Mataji, they will easily confuse us, but we have to be strict to our vows. And personally, Mataji, I know it may hurt people, but if I am doubtful about the food, Mataji, I don't eat. At least I try to, I'm not saying I'm very strict, but I try to not eat when the food, I'm doubtful about the food.
Yes. Yeah. So, thank
and
you.
At the end of the day, Mataji, we have to fly our own aeroplane. Nobody's going to fly our aeroplane, you know. So
sure.
We have to be careful. At least this much we should be careful. Our tongue, our ears, and our eyes. These three, we have to be very, very careful.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you so much for the answer, Prabhu. And your class was really very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mataji. There is one message in the chat from Sukha. I don't know if it is a Mataji or Prabhuji.
Yes, Sukhasagari Mataji.
Sukhasagari Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji, you said there is one clarification about Guru offering to Krishna or Guru first. Yeah. So when we offer anything, the process is that we offer to Guru. We don't offer to Krishna. We don't offer to Radha Krishna. We don't offer to Gaur Nithai. We don't offer to Jagannath Balaji Subhadra Maharani. No. We offer to Guru Maharaj. And we request Guru Maharaj to offer to our deities. That is the correct process. Is that fine, Mataji?
Sagari Mataji?
Maybe Mataji is working, Prabhuji.
Okay, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Ji, Sachi Gaur Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Ji, Gaur Sachi Gaur Prabhu, Koti Koti Danvat Pranam. As usual, every time, Prabhuji, you are given a class, so sincerely, working hard to give us a Krishna conscious. Koti Koti Danvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Vudel Ki Jai, Gopinath Ki Jai, Rachit Jai, Pratak Amaraj Ki Jai. Thank you, Sachi Gaur Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
You and Mataji both are cooking lots of prasadam because of last 2 years not getting association. But I have seen that both are cooking lots of prasadam and serving Vaishnava. Hari Bol Danvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Just to clarify something you said earlier, two things. One is if a person, you know, we're not sure about their standards at home, we should ask them to prepare something sweet, right? But why exactly is that safer?
So the first option, Mataji, if they're okay with fruits, we should tell them to buy fruits. But I think Dadar Mataji was mentioning about cooking. They want to cook something. So if they want to cook, sweets are better because the ingredients used in the sweet are very minimum. They are very few. Sweets don't require a lot of ingredients. And the chances of contamination are less.
But sometimes sweets contain eggs, you know?
Not, if you make, you know, our...
like cookies. Like, for example, cookies and cake, you know? Those are very often those are cooked with eggs among non-veg people.
So Mataji, generally when we talk about sweets, you know, we refer to something like kheer, rasgulla, gulab jamun, you know, something like that. More milk-based sweets. And most of the newcomers, Mataji, they don't know how to cook. You know, because they mostly eat outside. So they won't offer to cook cake or cookies, because those are complex. Those are little involved. So the newcomers, they don't generally offer to cook those.
Okay, and the other clarification I needed was, when you were saying, you know, it was during the discussion about not making newcomers feel bad, right? But they will insist on cooking their way. And you said this statement, something like, if they are non-veg, then why will they want to offer their cooking to Krishna? Something like that. Do you remember this statement? I couldn't understand properly why this was a contradiction.
No, I think Mataji was saying that somebody who is cooking non-veg,
yeah,
they also want to offer to Krishna.
Yeah.
And she was claiming that if Krishna is accepting, why are you not accepting? So, you know, how does she, first of all, how does that Mataji know that Mataji who is eating non-veg, how does she know that Krishna has accepted her offering? And my question is, if you are not able to give up non-vegetarian food, why do you want to even cook for the programs, for our satsangs? You know,
every organization has some standards. If there is no standard, the organization will fall apart very quickly. Even our employment, our job, you know, if we say, I will come in at 10 o'clock today, tomorrow I'll come at noon, day after tomorrow I won't come, you know, the company will not survive. It will not perform. They will kick me out first. So, you know, every organization needs some standards. So ISKCON is an organization. Individually, we all are organizations. I am an organization. If I have to function, if I have to be successful, I have to make sure I follow what is necessary. And anywhere we budge or anywhere we fall behind, we will definitely fall away from the path.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad pranam all grace to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, is it okay if I ask you a small question, Prabhuji?
Mataji, let's make this the last question.
Sorry, Prabhuji, sorry for the delay.
One last question, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, actually, I am a new beginner. Like, I'm chanting since four years, but I'm offering prasadam. As you said, we have to offer to Guru Maharaj. But I didn't know anything about that. I know how to do the prayers with one, like, devotee. He told me how to offer. So I offer whatever I could. I offer in front of Krishna. But I chant the prayer, like, to the Guru and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and goes to Krishna. So I don't know how to offer, Prabhuji. Can you please explain how to offer the prasad? So in front of Guru I need to put, or in front of Krishna I need to put the offering?
Sure, sure, Mataji. So you're already following the correct process itself. So when you say Guru Pranam, what Pranam do you say, Mataji? Srila Prabhupada Pranam Mantra?
Yes, Prabhuji. Namo Vishnu.
So that's it. That's it, yeah. If you are not initiated directly by a guru, then Srila Prabhupada is your guru. Actually, for all of us, Srila Prabhupada is our guru. So we first recite Srila Prabhupada Pranam Mantra 3 times, and then Mahaprabhu, and then Radha Krishna. So by doing that, what you are doing is you are actually requesting Srila Prabhupada to offer. Okay? So you are already following the process. If you do not say Srila Prabhupada Pranam Mantra, and if you directly say Namo Brahmanya Devaya, then there is a problem. Because you are saying Namo Vishnu Padaya, you know, Prabhupada Pranam Mantra, then you are following the right path. And then the offering itself, you put it in front of the altar. I don't know how your altar is arranged, Mataji. Your deities, how your altar is arranged. But you put it in front of the altar. It's more channeled for Radha Krishna or Gaur Nithai, whoever you are worshipping currently. And you request. So generally what we do is we put 2 asanas. I'm giving more, little bit more elaborate. There is more elaborate than this, what I'm saying. But at a high level, we have 2 asanas and a place, a table sort of thing, and mat. And we request the guru to come and the deities to come. And then we offer mantras. So it is not that, you know, you are like putting it front of Krishna or Prabhupada or anything like that. So you have an asana, and we don't have to do this elaborately because it's timeless circumstance again. If you have all the arrangement necessary, you can do it that way, or else just keep the offering plate in front of your altar and then you pray to Prabhupada to purify the offering and then bless and then offer it to the Lord. So that should be our consciousness, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji, I have one more small thing. Like sometimes I work, Prabhuji, sometimes I don't get time. So in the mornings when I'm in a hurry, I'm doing only 1 time, like instead of doing 3 times repeating, sometimes I do 1 time. Is it okay or you have to do compulsory 3 times?
No, 1 time is okay, Mataji. And I know you said you are new and you said you were chanting for 4 years. So those 2 statements don't go together, but I'm very happy that, you know, you are chanting for 4 years and you're offering, you're working, and then you're still trying to offer. So that's good, Mataji. You don't have to offer 3 times a day. If it is possible, do it. If it is not possible, but if you have a desire to offer 3 times a day, you can offer fruits also. Some dates, nuts. I don't know which place you're in, but in the West especially, we have a lot of fruits and nuts and, you know, a lot of facilities. So you can offer them as well. And if you have deities, one cooked meal is definitely compulsory. But if you don't have details, if it is pictures, you know, then it is okay. You don't have to necessarily offer cooked meal. But all of this, you know, it is your heart. There are some standards, some rules, but then it's not that you have to stick to these, you know, just only one offering a day or three offerings a day. It's not like that. Whatever your heart says, you should do, but you should have a minimum. That's the key. I don't know if you have deities or not, but if you have deities, when we welcome deities, there is a minimum standard that we commit to.
So I have Laddu Gopal Prabhuji.
Okay, okay. So, you know, there's some minimum standards that you should commit to, and you should try to perform that much every day.
Thanks, Prabhuji. This one is in the morning. I just asked this one, instead of three times praying, you said we have to pray three times, right? Instead of that, can I do one time in the morning or no? We have to do compulsory three times. That's what I was asking, Prabhuji.
No, praying, I did not say three times, Mataji. I said the mantra.
Yeah, mantra only three times. We have to do compulsory three times. Yeah. Or
so, Prabhupada mantra three times.
Chaitanya.
Mahaprabhu three times. And then Krishna three times.
Okay. Okay.
And then Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, followed by Hare Krishna three times.
Sure, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
So as Prabhuji don't have much time, so we would like to close here call. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpata Rupiasya Kripala.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanu Pranam.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanu Pranam.